Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almacet. Almacet isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almacet is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almacet is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almacet.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almacet.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almacet.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nathaniel Lowe with the home run. Dave Raymond with the home run call of the day. We appreciate everybody who follows along. Baseball Isn't Boring app, BB Isn't Boring. Listens, rates, reviews, subscribes, all of it. It's all a good time, and this is no exception. Today, a great podcast. We want to thank the fine folks at Wasabi, Wasabi High Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies for walking side by side with us throughout this journey, throughout this Baseball Isn't Boring journey. And today's journey takes us to Jared Saltalamacchia. Jared Saltalamacchia, Salty. Yep, he's always good to talk to. We catch up with Salty. He, of course, you may know him from his time with the Red Sox, his time with the Tigers, his time with the Rangers, his time with the Braves, his time with the Marlins. We also know him right now as a key coach with the back-to-back Cape Cod League champs, Bourne Braves. Yeah, he's coaching down the Cape League, offering a great perspective to some of the best college players in the entire country, doing their thing down there, and Salty guiding him all along the way. So it was just a great time to catch up with Salty to reflect on some of the stuff that he went through as a major leaguer, how he sees the college players now in this day and age, because he sees them, he's coaching them, and how it's translating into Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball that he knew. And then we're going to have Zach Kelly. Zach Kelly's having an outstanding year for the Red Sox. And Zach Kelly, who also has a pretty good draft story. Belagueskos, yeah, college baseball reporter for us. Belagueskos catches up with Zach to reflect on his draft day experience, which is anytime you get a good draft day experience story is good. All right, but first off, here's Salty.
All right, you know who, Salty, I would want to have on the podcast other than you?
Donald Trump.
Nobody.
Oh, okay.
Nobody.
All right.
There's nobody I'd rather talk to right now than you.
That's a lie, but I'll take
that
it.
That is always the case. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All you do is win.
That's all you do. I
don't care. So in case people don't know, you are the head coach in charge of winning
yes.
for the Bourne Braves of the Cape Cod League. It is your third year?
This is my third year, yes.
Third year. I have a good memory. So let's start there. Is it what... When you came down, I remember when you said you were going to do it. I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, I love the Northeast. My time in Boston was, you know, magical, the most memorable time of my life. So being able to come back up to the Northeast, I didn't go to college, so I didn't get to try and play in the Cape. You know, so I had the opportunity. I want to kind of further my career and not be in high school forever. So I got the opportunity, came out, had a great time coaching, you know, great athletes, D1 prospects. You know, and then we won. So I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll come back again. Came back for a second year. We won again. So now it's just kind of, now I have to come back, you know, try and win a third time.
I think that you said at one point you were interested in maybe coaching or certainly managing in the major leagues. Has this given you a different perspective on it? Good, bad, indifferent?
I mean, I definitely am more... probably leaning towards college.
Okay.
I think that college baseball right now is something I enjoy. You know, these kids are, you know, wanting information. I mean, every second I talk to them, they're asking new questions and no more questions, and they're just like retaining it like no other. You know, I've heard horror stories of pro baseball, but at the same time, like, you know, if the situation was right, obviously I would love to coach at the highest level. You know, but I don't know if that situation is ever going to come up or not. You know, I'm always open to it. We'll see what happens. But, you know, right now I can see a college position probably opening up before a pro.
Bobby, good connection, right? I mean,
this is... I got good connections, but... you know, it's different. I think the game's changed from when I was.
Has it?
I think so. I mean, not the game per se, but I think the mindset. You know, a lot of data analytic driven stuff, which is fine. I think sometimes it gets a little overboard, so that's kind of why I would like to coach in the pro level, because I used a lot of the analytic stuff to help, and I think some of it was a little too much. You know, but I also want to get to know the players in their mind, because these kids think a lot differently than I thought. So I'm understanding why they're looking at their 0-2. You know, strikeout percentage, like, okay, their thought is, okay, I don't want to get the two strikes. I need to hit and attack early. I'm like, all right, well, why don't we try and hit, see what you can do with two strikes? Maybe be a better two-strike hitter. And then you won't be afraid to get there and swing at a pitch that may not be a strike because you don't want to get there. You know, so just trying to open their minds a little bit too.
Can you see that, because you see, you get these kids down here fresh off their college season, can you see where the analytics have leaked in? To, like, not leaked in, I'm not, that's a negative connotation, but when they get here, like, oh, hey, like, where's the track man, or where's, well, I did this, or I did that, or, you know, do you see that, where you're like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely, you know, and it started like 2 years ago at the combine. You know, I was watching these kids hit on a big league ballpark, and I mean, when I was doing it, I'm like, all right, let's see if I can hit some, you know, line drives, or how far I can hit it. I mean, they were strictly looking at exit velocity, that's what they were looking at. This year we had a kid on the mound who was throwing his changeup, and you got 40, 50 scouts up there watching these kids, and he's throwing 12 changeups in a row because it was negative 17.2 vert, and he wanted to get to negative 20. And I'm like, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you got scouts here want to see you throw your fastball and, like, all your stuff, and you're throwing a changeup, and it wasn't like an 82 mile. It was like 89. The kid threw 95, so there wasn't a big differential. But they're looking at the vert, the horizontal, all this stuff. Which, I mean, I think it can be helpful.
Yeah.
Like, Verlander taught me about the RPM stuff, so I'm a believer in that now. But, you know, you still have to throw the ball over the plate. You still have to throw strikes.
Well, going back to, like, this, like, spin rate is almost, like, I don't want to say it's archaic, but that's one of the things that everyone understands now.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you were catching Koji, we were like, why the hell does this ball jump? And we're like, what is happening? And now we know he had a good, but you had, I don't even know what analytics were like being passed in pieces of paper to you in the clubhouse back
No,
then.
We had hot and cold zones, stuff like that for hitters. I mean, my pregame routine, I would go in there and look at every hitter, and I would go through, you know, every time they faced that pitcher, for one, to see what they did, but then two, I would go through, all right, fastball's up and in, what's his batting average against? Fastball's middle, in, down, like, go through every spot, and then I would go through the breaking balls and the sliders and the changeup and just try and see what the best pitch and what scenario, and I would break them down to a T like that, and then I would pitch to my pitcher's strengths, but I would also use those analytics to, you know, help me kind of understand what kind of a hitter they were, what two-strike approach they're thinking. I mean, if their average goes way up on something hard in with two strikes, I'll look at the, you know, spray chart, and it's always the left field. I'm like, all right, so two strikes, he's sitting, trying to go the other way. What can I do to make him roll over? Change up, backdoor breaking ball, stuff like that.
Well, again, like, this is, it's valuable, but now it's, you would get that in 50 different forms from 50 different machines. And I'm like, again, I understand it. But at the same time, I think it is a little bit overblown. But it is interesting, like the Koji spin rate thing, right? Because you were probably thinking the same thing.
Well,
like, how
100%.
Is, like, we're calling for a fastball. Why are you guys so late on this?
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, the spin rate was there. Obviously, they have to respect the splitter. They could throw it any time for a strike. So, I mean, what Koji did so well is he was able to throw strikes. If you throw strikes, you get hitters active, and they're activated. But Koji could throw it wherever he wanted. Like, he knew the guy was swinging, so he's going to throw a little off the plate, or he's going to throw it down and away. Like, he's able to locate. I mean, location always wins.
When I talked to Kyle Snyder, the favorite question for everybody, every time for them, is what's the secret sauce of Tampa, right? And they're like, strike one.
Yeah.
Strike one. But so that's the thing that hasn't changed, right?
Yeah.
We have the percentages, and if you get the ball over in strike one, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I think strike one's always obviously important. I think what kind of changed from when I was playing to now is you only get to face the team twice. Like, you're only going to face around the lineup twice, and then you got to go to the bullpen. And You know, so as a pitcher, what am I going to try and do? I'm not going to try and get weak contact to keep my pitch count down. I'm not worried about my pitch count. I'm just trying to punch you out because I'm getting paid for punch outs, for one. For two, like, I know I'm not going to face these guys more than twice. I'm not going to be in the game late, so I can let it all eat from pitch one, and then I'm out. So,
how about headache? Like, for you, we go through a lot of, and I don't know what you're teaching. I don't know what, because there's a sign now in the spring training complex that you used to go to, which is, it's like, hit the ball in the air, hit the ball in the air, hit the ball in the air. Okay, hit the ball in the air, right? So I want to get the salty, like, I want to get what, like, the born Braves are hearing from you.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a philosophy that I've always felt worked, and I didn't really learn it until, like, my sixth year, and I was in Boston. And it was funny, I was talking to Willie Blomquist the other day, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, six, 7 years? I'm like, yeah. He goes, same for me. Like, no one taught me how to have an approach until my seventh year. So it's simple. We break it in halves. Like, you got to pick one side of the plate. You're not Miguel Cabrera. You can't cover both sides of the plate and be successful. So let's go ahead and slow the ball down. Let's work outer half. Doesn't mean you can't pull the ball. It just means we're looking out there and we're taking the inside pitch, because in the mind, we speed up. As soon as you're thinking, you start to speed up and cheat. Your lower half collapses. You lose it. Your hands can be back, but you have nothing behind it. So eliminating the inside half, just looking away, knowing that 90% of pitchers aren't going to pitch in. If they do, it might be an accident, or it's one pitch just to go back away. You know, that hasn't changed since the beginning of time.
See, these kids are lucky to have you.
I hope so. I mean,
if you can only get them not to, like, play hacky sack.
It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing.
What is happening?
The opposing hitters are grabbing their bats right now, saying that, you know, we've already got this in the back. It's so bad.
You and Pedroia never played hacky sack before a game?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. That is definitely a no-go.
Speaking of hitting approach, I had just proclaimed that you had one of the biggest hits in Red Sox history.
Oh yeah,
I mean, no, it's true. So I say, this is my take, that Ortiz's home run, and I'm talking about Game 2, the ALCS in 2013. Ortiz's grand slam was the most impactful hit in Red Sox history, and here's the reason why: because he had to hit a grand slam.
Yeah.
He couldn't hit a double, triple, single, solo homer, whatever. He had to hit a grand slam, and otherwise you guys go down, probably down 2-0, yep, heading to Verlander in, yep, Detroit, and then you go and win the World Series, most impactful. But it's not that way unless you get a single.
Yeah.
Take me through that. With all due respect, a friend of the program, Rick Porcello, we love Rick. Take me through, like, I don't know if you've ever done this, of, like, let's do a 30 for 30 on the salty at bat.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I never considered myself a great hitter. I always considered myself a guy that had to focus on getting a pitch through a game. And thankfully, I had a lineup like we had with the Red Sox that I didn't have to worry about hitting. Whatever I did was a plus. But that being said, big situation, obviously. It was a perfect matchup because Porcello's sinker just went right into what I do. His velocity was a tick above my bat speed, so I think he might have had to slow that one down, or otherwise I might have been able to hit something deeper. But I got a hit and run on the first pitch, and I popped up foul.
Really?
And thankfully, we didn't have this netting and all this stuff here, so Prince actually ran to the stands and ended up dropping it because the fan kind of interfered a little bit, but nothing was called. And then next pitch was a pass ball, and then I think another one was another wild pitch, so he's at third. So I'm like, all right, man, this is simple. You've been doing this your whole career. Just get a ball up in the zone you can do something with. And, of course, it wasn't up in the zone. It was down the zone. Late swing, drove the ball past our boy Iggy.
Yeah.
Iglesias at short.
One of the finest musicians in the history of baseball right now.
And he doesn't miss a ground ball whatsoever.
When you hit it, did you think, oh, he's going to get it?
No, I mean, I honestly wasn't even focused on the infield. I didn't even know they were in.
Yeah.
I mean, I assumed they were in because it's common knowledge, but, like, I wasn't thinking. I was so focused on being able to get a pitch that I can hit, you know, and knowing that, hey, if I don't get this guy in, I'm at first base.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens when I'm at first base. I can't steal. I can't run. You know, there's so many bad things going to happen. David just kind of, you know, changed the whole momentum for us. Scherzer's out, obviously. So, just a good moment.
Another thing about that, which I've never really talked to David about because it's a man. You know, you had Benoit.
Yeah.
You had his changeup. Everyone knows had his changeup, right? And not, maybe some guy, maybe David didn't want it. I don't know. But you guys knew when he was throwing a changeup. So.
Well, I mean, David had faced him many times. Earlier in the year, we faced him. He just missed him at Detroit. And I think he faced him the day before and here or something. I can't remember what it was, but you know, David is a lot smarter hitter than I think people give him credit for. He didn't just grab a bat and hit a home run. I mean, that guy had an approach and a plan every single time. Best hand-eye coordination I've ever seen. And obviously, he's no other person I'd want in there in a big-time situation.
Well, no other person I'd rather have in there in a big-time situation was you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a rush like that? I mean, you win the World Series, right? I mean, when you win the World Series, fine, you're great. You win the World Series.
Yeah.
But to be the, like, the centerpiece of it.
I mean, I've had some home runs, some walk-offs. You know, we hit a grand slam against the Yankees that kind of solidified us getting to the playoffs. That was a huge moment. But, I mean, there's nothing like ALCS. You know, what should have been my family sitting in the stands, cheering me on. Then
where,
I find,
where were they?
Well, we were staying at 1330, that building right there.
Yeah.
So Pedroia's place was right next to mine, overlooking. He could see the whole field. My apartment could see outfield in the Victron. And I guess my wife was tired, so she took the kids home.
She didn't go? She went, took the kids home to that game?
And then I got home, I'm like, really, you didn't go? She goes, well, I thought something good happened because I heard everyone going nuts. And I'm like, yeah, I hit a walk-off, you know? No.
Said, oh, so when do you leave? When do you leave for Detroit?
Yeah, she's like, all right, awesome. Congrats, babe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, which is good. That's humbling for me. It helped me throughout my whole career. You know, no one kind of played me to be too big. It was great.
You're chasing that next moment where she can be in attendance. It's for you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I took the garbage out this morning, so that was one of the bigger moments, I think.
Happy wifey, happy lifey.
That's what they say.
So power rank, if you can, being in the cave, power rank the three most impressive players that you've seen play in the cave in your time there.
Power ranked. Well, it's only been about 10 days, and there's a lot of new players.
I'm saying for the entire time.
Oh, for the time I've been there? I mean, Matt Shaw definitely was one of those guys up there.
They don't have to have played for Bourne either.
Yeah, I mean, I think we won 2 years in a row, so I mean, is there anybody that good, obviously?
Yeah, you win.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So Shaw for me was a big guy. Like, I like dogs, so like they had another guy, JKG, Rutgers kid, and I mean the kid he played. You know, it wasn't nothing but a game to him. He could have gone home. He decided he wanted to stay because he wanted to win. I like guys like that. I'm trying to think of the kid's name. There was a pitcher we had for a day. I don't respect other players.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's fair.
I'm just going to head and say all my guys.
All right.
So.
That's fair. All right. Here's the last question. Now, this is the most difficult one. I know how you're going to answer it, but I got to ask it because it is the wasabi hot or not question of the day. And it is hot, paying $500 to go to a Taylor Swift concert. Why getting a chance to hang out with Travis Kelce for the entire concert?
And what are my options? Hot or not?
Yeah, you say it's worth paying $500 or not. It's all right. No one's going to take offense.
Jeez, you know, it's a tough one for me because I would not go to a Taylor Swift concert if it was in my backyard. But unfortunately, I actually am going to a Taylor Swift concert because my kids are like diehard, and it was like a Christmas present. I had a connection, so I used it. So, I mean, I guess it's hot because then I'll look cool in front of my kids. But, yeah, I'm not a fan.
The Kelce factor doesn't do much for me.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, just catch the ball, all right? You're a football player. Stay on the field, catch the ball.
Catch the ball.
All right? Get up, hand the ball to the quarterback, next play. Let's go.
All right. You nailed it. Thank you.
All right, great stuff from Salty. We appreciate him. And I was going to say, I hope he's having a good time in the Cape, but obviously he's having a good time in the Cape. Who doesn't have a good time in the Cape Cod League? We appreciate everybody down there at the Cape Cod League. They're friends of the Baseballs and Boring Cause. Now, we're going to turn our attention to a little bit of a sit-down that Bella Geskos, as we said, Bella, our college baseball reporter, just did an outstanding job in Omaha, and she caught up with Zach Kelly with some good draft day story stuff. Let's go. Here's Bella and Zach.
Zach Kelly, I have to know, what is your draft day story?
Well, it was not as eventful as I had hoped. I had talked to a few teams kind of leading up to the draft after our season ended. We got done pretty early. We got done in May with a D2 schedule, and then so I had a little bit of time to wait. But talked to a few teams, thought I had a chance to go day two, and obviously that team went a different route. The Oakland A's, they texted me the morning of day three and just pretty much asked if I'd sign for $1,000. I was like, yeah. And so I'm sitting there watching the draft. They always say don't watch it, but I sit there watch. I watch every pick. Like, I probably shouldn't have, but... And then we got down to, like, the 30th round, because we still had 40 at the time. And the scout that I talked to with the A's kind of texted me, was like, hey, man, I think we're going to go a different direction. Like, I'll call you after. So I'm like, you know, for, like, the last, like, hour, probably not an hour, maybe, like, 30 minutes of the draft, I just, you know, I didn't think there was any chance. Then he called me after, and I pulled some strings, like, if you'll sign, we'll give you $500. So if you'll sign, we'll take you. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So $500 and a plane ticket to Phoenix.
Oh my, I'm actually speechless. $500, yeah. What'd you do with that $500? Save it, spend it?
No, I've told this story a few times. So after tax, it was $323. They charged us rent for our apartments once we got our bonuses. So the rent was $300 for the month. So I gave $300 of my $323 bonus back to the A's for rent. So I had $23 left over. I went to Applebee's and got a 2 for $20 for myself.
What was the order? Go.
I went mozzarella sticks for the appetizer, obviously, okay. Of course, and then the two steaks, two Applebee's steaks, and it was good. Then my bonus was gone.
I can think of like worse ways to spend your bonus. That's not horrible.
Yeah, Applebee's? I mean, I could like went to a gas station or something, you know.
Okay, well, obviously you're making more than $500 or $323.
Doing a little better now.
Have you been back to Applebee's since that day?
A few times. Not that specific one. My time in Arizona was really short, so... but, yeah, it's different. It's a different story, but it's good.
What was your feeling when you got the text that they were maybe going to go in a different direction? What was going through your head?
Just like, I guess mainly disappointment, obviously. Just because, like, you know, I had like a month and a half kind of leading up to the draft where, like, at no point in my head did I think I was done playing baseball. And so, like, all of a sudden that realization kind of hits you, and something that you just kind of work your whole life for. And this going through the draft process where it's like you have the 3 or 4 teams that I had that were like, hey, we like you, we're probably going to take you. So it's like I said, like no point I think I was done. And then you get that text and it's just kind of like it's kind of like over. And so I was pretty disappointed. My wife, now she was at the house, my parents were there. I just kind of went upstairs and just kind of didn't want to talk to nobody, but it worked out.
Obviously it worked out. You're here at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
You're playing. You made it all the way up.
We did, yeah. It was a long road, long grind, a couple releases, a couple injuries along the way, but, you know.
What did you learn? One thing that you learned?
It's perseverance and grind. Like, I mean, I think the thing in this game is, like, nobody's going to feel sorry for you because, like, everybody's trying to get to the same point. And especially being, like, a guy that kind of, like, where I was, like, a non-drafted guy and free agent signing everywhere I've been. It's like, you know, they have more invested into other players, and so it's almost like you kind of got to work a little bit harder and kind of just kind of create your own path and see where you fit in, see what you can do to help the team, and just kind of keep trying to climb the ladder.
I hear, okay, so Rob may have been wrong or like led me wrong. I hear you're a Taylor Swift fan.
No.
So he said to ask you, would you spend $1,000 to go to a Taylor Swift concert with Travis Kelce?
With Travis?
With Travis. You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with Travis.
Why not a Taylor Swift fan? Let's hear it.
It's not my style of music. But I would hang out with Travis Kelce for a night.
Okay, so tell me what kind of music you listen to. What kind of music do you like?
I like country music a lot.
Okay, rank these artists real quick. And last question. Chris Stapleton, Morgan Wallen, Zach Bryan. Very different types of country.
Wallen, Bryan, Stapleton.
Really?
Yeah.
Hot take.
Yeah, hot take. I mean, I think Stapleton's good. It's just like, not really my like kind of style, I guess. I also like a lot of like early 2000s rock, alternative, whatever you want to call it. Like Creed, Three Doors Down. Nice. Yeah, come on. Then he doesn't get old. It still hits.
Well, Zach, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Skipping meals, cutting out carbs, still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest, you aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.